When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Phil Donahue.
And I'm Marlo Thomas.
We fell in love on live television, right there on my show. Not long after we got married, and that was more than 40 years ago.
Now on our new podcast, Double Date, we visit the homes of our favorite long-married celebrity couples.
We share intimate conversations about enduring love and all its challenges. Family, career, conflict, addiction, illness, jealousy. Everything a couple can face.
And you'll hear those personal and often hilarious stories that all married people like to tell. From couples like Viola Davis and Julius Tenen, Neil Patrick Harris and David Burka, Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos, Judge Judy and Jerry Shinlin, and so many more. We can't wait to share some of the laughs and tears and revelations that we had with these remarkable spouses.
Listen to Double Date on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, welcome to Marriage and Martinis. I'm Adam, here's Danielle.
Hello.
So, what made you think of this topic about doing us podcasting? I was very curious because you sent it to me. I was very excited. I want to talk about this stuff. I was just wondering, did something happen or come up in your mind?
No, people always ask me questions about starting the podcast, and it's something that we mention here and there, and we've done like back to the beginning episodes of how we met and everything, but we've never done an episode like this. And I know that there are so many people out there who have thought about starting something, whether it's a social media account, a podcast, a Etsy business, a book, you know, like a blog, anything.
Right, because when I first looked at it, I was thinking, we've done this before.
We have?
No, not, I guess when I went through it, no. But my initial reaction when I first saw it was, it sounds like we're going back to the beginning, like talking about our experience, but it's not.
Well, because every time we're interviewed by a newspaper or a media outlet or something, this is what they ask us about.
Okay.
So we've spoken about it 1,000 times, but in those kind of short sound bites that, you know, you look for in a magazine or a newspaper or a television right. show or something. So we haven't done it like our style.
Okay. I thought,
which is like the real deal. Like we give a really pretty picture when we talk about it other places because we don't have time to get into the nitty gritty, but here's the nitty gritty.
Right. So they just want a story. So they interview us and it's, here's their story.
No, they're interested.
I know, but they don't get into the
grit
of what
I say. Listen,
happen.
We were having a really hard time. We started the podcast, but it has to be like 100 words.
Right.
Here we can bore people for hours.
Right. Like we have like 200 words that we can put out instead of 100 words.
I thought you were going to say 200 words in our vocabulary.
No, that's mine.
Right.
And then I ask you for the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So before we even get started, do you want to get into the date night questions?
Sure, I will get a little bit into the
Please
date night
do.
Questions. Yeah, this is the first
shameless plug, by the way.
Yeah, shameless plug. But if you're the whole thing is people always say to me, "Oh, you don't sell anything," and I'm like, "No, what am I going to sell?" And the reason why we don't sell anything is because I've been like, I'm not going to put something out to sell just to sell it. Like, I don't have anything that I think that people want to buy. I mean, unless you're talking about merch or, you know, whatever, but
We have a lot of old stuff we're trying to get rid of. So if anybody wants to buy that.
We haven't updated our merch in so long. But I'm not, it's not, that's
no,
not
I meant
where
like
I'm
shit around the house. Like, you know what's funny?
Well, you know, I know people online who are doing that now. I have influencer friends who are selling their old stuff on their Instagram accounts to get rid of. They're sort of like, I think people will want this. So they're selling it. As like part of their business.
Oh, really?
Nobody wants our shit.
No, you know, it's funny because nobody wants our shit. But we today had a company come out and redo our whole irrigation system. It was all shot and split and we had to redo the whole thing. So these guys came out and I was cleaning out the basement this morning as well. And I found this box that was a baby piano.
Right.
From it was a gift for one of our kids still in the box from 10 years ago. And I brought it upstairs and I'm like, hey, do you guys have little kids? Here you go. Like, do you want this
little piano?
Yeah. So they were really excited.
Oh.
And I was like, thank you so much for, you know, giving this to me. You know,
how did they decide who was going to get it?
You know what? It's so funny because there were four guys here and I offered it to one because he's the one that I was communicating with. And
oh, you should have given the other guy something.
I don't know. Like, so I was just like, we got this old shit. And if anybody wants to buy it, if not, here you go. We'll just give it to you.
Here's our old shit.
Yeah, we'll just give it to you. No, but it's good. Like, you know, good conditions. Brand new in a box. Never opened, but never used it. Here you go.
Well, that was very nice, but you should have given the other three something too.
I would have. I know. I felt like
I would have been like, here are some gift cards that the kids have gotten that they don't remember about.
Well, I have Circuit City gift cards if anybody is interested.
City.
I have gift cards from The Wiz if anybody is interested in those. They're
yours. I
forgot
about The Wiz.
Yeah. So if anybody wants any
of those. Is Radio Shack still in business?
No. I also do have a Blockbuster membership card. If anybody wants to buy that for me, I'll sign it and send it over to you.
Well, they just put that that documentary out.
I did. I watched it. That's what made me think of it.
How was it?
It was fun.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, how much more than saying it
right.
was fun can it be?
Right.
Yeah.
So I never want to put something out that is just to sell it. Our date night questions we've been doing for like over a year and a half now. We took a little time off during the pandemic because I could barely wrap my head around recording an episode rather like even on top of putting out, you know, an email every week. But thousands of people have done our date night questions. And the response I always get is, holy shit, in that one night, you changed the course of our marriage. That we did these questions. You've seen all those messages.
I have.
I send a lot of them to you. There have been tons of messages.
Yeah, I have that as part of one of my answers here that's actually very important. So,
but we're going to get to that later.
Well, as long as we get to it and don't say something like, we don't have time for that this episode, we'll get to it at another point.
Well, that's your famous line.
We can't do that.
So I thought to myself, wait a minute. You know, the one thing that people say is, I love your date night questions, but a lot of times what I'm going through in my marriage and what we're going through in life doesn't line up with what you have that week in your date night questions. So I was sort of like, you know what? I would love to sit down because when I do the date night questions every week in the Friday Five, you know, I sit down and I'm rushed and I'm trying to figure out what will be the best questions that I'm taking from the podcast that we've done. But does that relate to people? And so I've really sat down for hours and hours and been like, okay, what are the best questions that people could ask? What's going to get the best result in communication? How are they going to have fun but still get something done? Because when you and I used to have date nights, it would be like we would go out, we'd have a blast, we'd get super fucked up, we'd come home, we'd have sex, and we'd go to bed. Nothing got talked about, nothing got accomplished.
It was not productive.
Nothing productive. Right. It was literally like fun, sex,
it was
bed.
It was, yeah, it was, let's get wasted.
Maybe sex.
Plan a vacation. And because
that will never happen.
Because I was drunk, we were right there, you made me make reservations. I booked the flight, I booked the place, I booked everything.
My fault.
No, not your fault, but I'm just saying that that was the extent of what we discussed. Like,
right.
It was nothing.
But had we combined communication with that, it would have been so much better, so much more meaningful. Anyway, I have been working tirelessly. You have been working tirelessly to put this together. I'm so excited to share it with people. It is icebreakers for 12 categories of talking about how that topic relates to us. 12 categories, 5 to 10 date night questions for each category. And then a little date night challenge for you guys to do together. That's really fun and hopefully will be kind of productive. So you can pre-order that this week. on our website. Please do it.
I have to get that out.
You have to get that out soon.
All right.
We are working on it. It is almost done, but not quite completed. So it will be out probably in a month. But when you pre-order it, you get 25% off. You get bonus questions of 60. It's Would You Rather, Never Have I Ever, and something called Triggered, which Good Moms, Bad Choices taught me about, which is a super fun game. Girls Night Questions and Double Date Night Questions, all for free in the 25% off. So it's $14.99 for all of that. So go, please purchase it. It's also a wonderful way to support us, and you will get something amazing in return. Let's not talk about it anymore.
This episode will be released on Monday.
Yeah.
So
you can go right now.
Oh, yeah? On Monday?
You can go right now.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. I don't give a shit what it looks like.
I don't think you're right.
Oh, I'm not right. So keep checking back for updates.
If you go to marriagemartinis.com and you see the link for Date Night Questions pre-order at the top of the page, that means we were very good and did it. But it probably won't be there Monday. But it'll be there this week.
Okay, this week. Yeah. Keep checking back. But I think it's going to be super worth it. It's the only thing I really felt like is really worth actually the time and the effort to put together. And I think it's going to be really awesome.
Awesome.
So, yeah, let's move on.
Great. Okay, so let's get to the episode. Mm-hmm. All right. So you asked me if I have a recollection about when you first asked me about starting the podcast. And the only recollection that I have was we were probably about 3 to 4 cocktails in already, sitting in our barroom in our old house.
Can you give time frame like when this was?
This was 3 years ago.
Is that 2018. Right? I'm going to say February 2018.
So it's almost exactly 3 years ago. Yeah. So yeah, 3 years and a month, 2 months. So anyway, I don't remember what we were talking about to initiate this conversation, but I do remember you saying to me, "Hey, you said we should be recording this. Let's start a podcast." And that's kind of all I remember how you started the conversation. I don't remember what led up to that. Do you?
Well, I just know we were at a point in our marriage where, you know, your dad died in 2015. From the time he was sick.
Was it 2015?
Yeah. August 2015.
Wow.
So for the next, first of all, for the year and a half that he was really sick, things were really bad with us. Then he died and things didn't get any better. In fact, I think they got worse. You had this business that he had run since he was, you know, I don't know, 30. I don't know how old he was when he started it. But this successful business, you really felt ill-prepared to take it over. It really affected every state of your being. You were a different person. And what happened was that we wound up never really seeing each other because you were gone all the time. You would leave. You just didn't want to face what was going on in our marriage and not in our marriage, in life. And that affected our marriage. But the nights that you were home, we were still us. Like we would still sit in our bar room and talk for hours and have cocktails and laugh and cry. And it was so fun. And it was just like we were teenagers again. So like the nights you were home, as much as I was so angry about everything that was going on, we would still have these amazing conversations. But yet, then you would leave again. So so I was stuck in a rock and a hard place because I didn't want it to end, but I knew something had to change. And we would have these long conversations. At the end of all the long conversations, it would go from laughing and crying to these deep, you know, these deep anecdotes about our lives. And I would say to you every time, we should be recording this.
Yeah, I think you might be giving our conversations a little bit too much credit. I don't know where they were not to the extent of the conversations that we have now, like doing this podcast. I think it was more just a
fun.
Yeah, like there was nothing
maybe
productive about those conversations. It was just, I'm home. We're together.
Well, we had fun.
The kids are asleep. We're having
a
good time.
Whatever it was, I was just so happy you were home and we were connecting.
It wasn't like a productive conversation. It was more of a fun conversation.
Maybe that was as productive as we needed at that time.
I guess so.
Because it was connecting us.
Well, I was also curious. Was Was the podcast an idea that you had thinking up to this night that we had together before you even asked me, or was this just spur of the moment?
I don't know.
Like, I'm sure you, in your mind, you had, you're like, we need to do something. Something has to happen. I don't know what it is. Or were you thinking, Adam loves technology. Adam loves podcasts and he loves to do these things. Maybe the podcast is the right idea leading up to this. Or was it just kind of like, hey, let's start a podcast?
Yeah, I knew at that time you wouldn't do therapy. You were like dead set against therapy at that time. We've since done it.
Right.
But at that time you were like, absolutely not. I will not do therapy. Yeah, I think the back of my mind, I was saying to myself, he, you know, I know, first of all, you were like the first one on the bandwagon with podcasts. So you were listening to podcasts like before they were cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they were stupid. And then, my mom always said, you guys need to have a sitcom. I mean, our house was always like a sitcom. I mean, it was always somebody doing something crazy. And, you know, that's just our life. And yeah, I think I thought he will be home. He will be in this room and he'll be able to have a cocktail. That's why I originally called it Marriage and Martinis, was because I thought, you want to have cocktails? Fine. Let's have cocktails. We'll do it here. You don't need to go to Atlantic City, or you don't need to, you know, go to the bar. You don't. We could do it right here. I guess I was thinking, whatever you're doing, let's do it here.
Right.
So, yeah. So when we finally started it, or when we finally said we were going to start it, I should say, when I
That's
looked at you
a good point.
And I said, let's do it. And 80% of me said he's going to laugh in your face. Maybe 90% of me said he's going to laugh in your face and you didn't. Then I was like, oh, fuck. Like, he called my bluff, kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, when you first said it to me, I was kind of thinking like, what a great idea. How cool. I love podcasts. I don't know anything about podcasting. I don't know anything about, you know, we have no background in talking on the media in any way. And with
talking
radio.
Talking on the media.
On the medias.
On the medias.
Yeah. Yeah. The radios uh-huh. and the,
watching,
you know,
your programs.
Watching the programs.
On your stations.
We don't know anything about anything. So, but I was like, I love this stuff. You know, this is kind of a thing that I've been wanting to get into my whole life. And I don't want to say it again, but I have another one of my answers to another one of your questions. But I wanted to be kind of to an audience. I wanted to.
You were interested in it.
I was so interested in it.
Even though, like, you would have to. That's the thing. I don't even think we've ever really talked about this. Like, this was something that you were actually excited about.
Well, when you first said it to me, I was like, yeah, sure, a podcast. Why not? Who cares? Whatever.
Right, like, who cares? What is there to lose? Two people will listen,
right,
and
we'll
it'll
have
be
two,
done.
Yeah, we'll have two people listening. Who cares?
Right.
We'll
My put mom, our shit out there.
Yeah.
Maybe your mom.
And I didn't even know what it was going to be about, but I was thinking, hey, listen, it's totally up my alley. I'm into it. Let's do it. Let's try it. Sounds awesome. Because, you know, I talked about it, I think, in, I forgot which episode it was. You know, I've always wanted to do something working, you know, I love Apple computers. I've been working on them forever since I'm, you know, I'm a little kid. And I've always wanted to do something with it professionally with what I do for a living. That's really not an option except for like boring spreadsheet bullshit and, you know, business applications and all that. But I really wanted to be creative with working on a computer. And this was something that I could see would satisfy that need for me. So that got me excited.
Yeah, I really think in the beginning, I was really just trying to save our marriage.
Right. And I was wanting
to save
you about being on a computer.
Right. And save you. It was not about, you know, it grew into what can we do for everybody else. And a little bit it was about that in the beginning, because when we were going through everything, I was looking for something that would be for both of us, you know, that we could use and listen to. And everything was either like religious or self-help based. And I finally was sort of like, there's nothing here that I'm interested in. And so I came to you. A lot of couples have a baby when they're going through hardship. I was like, I don't want another fucking baby. Let's start a podcast. So it was, you know, it was sort of like, it was like a Hail Mary. No, is that the right term? A Hail Mary? I don't even know what that is. But like a last resort.
A Hail Mary and football is like a long bomb, long pass.
I think a Hail Mary like is like long something shot, you do to save somebody or like luck or something. I think I'm using it wrong.
I just know it in football. It's like a okay. like a long
anybody
shot.
Who's Catholic, can you please get back to me about what a Hail Mary actually
is?
Is
that a Hail Mary?
I don't know.
I'm acting like a sports guy. I'm not. Right. But I think that's what it is.
So I, I think at the in the beginning, I was sort of just trying to save our marriage. But yet I was also like, there's got to be other people out there suffering like we are. There has to be.
Well, I want to say, and I hope... I don't want to turn this into an argument between us, but a lot of what maybe that you thought was I was escaping and I wasn't around and it was, you know, because my dad was sick and he was dying and everything, you know, all that happened. But you and I had a lot of arguments in the past that, you know, you being a stay-at-home mom and having, when the kids were young and having a lot of time to yourself, I was a little bit resentful of you. And thinking, I want my time too. Whether I was right or wrong, I'm not blaming you or saying what you did was nothing or anything like that. This is just the way that I viewed it 5 years ago. That, you know, you have this time during the day. This wasn't, there was no pandemic going on. The kids were at school for 5 hours during the day. And you have this time and you don't have a job. You're a stay-at-home mom. It's a job. I get it. I'm correcting myself real quick on that. But... you had a good amount of hours during the day by yourself. That's kind of the line there. And I was very jealous of that because I never, never, ever got that. And I wanted it. And that was kind of my escape after, like, if I was done with work, I would go out to dinner by myself and sit at the bar. And, you know, I knew the people at the restaurant and had a great time. They were friends. And, so it was my hour.
Norm
to hour
Cheers?
It was like being a Cheers.
Put it on the tab.
The place that I went to was, it was like just like Cheers. I would walk in, I would get hugs and kisses and, you know, it was a great time. Like, I was having, you know, I would meet friends there or whatever. But it was my time away. I had an hour and a half away by myself. So that's a lot of the reason that I was doing this. And I was kind of resentful of the fact of you were at home and, you know, and your full job was taking care of the kids and they were gone half the day and, you know, had time to yourself. And I knew for you, there was no, when the kids got older, there was no direction of, okay, so what are you going to do? What's your job going to be? What are you going to do after the kids are
grown
up?
Wow, you really did resent me.
Did we discuss this at all or?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it's crazy.
Okay, so all these things were going on in my mind. And again, this was, you know, 5-6 years ago. But when we started this podcast, part of me was thinking like, hey, Danielle's going to finally find something for her that I think is going to be, what's the word? Satisfying for you as either a career, if this would turn into something like that, which it has evolved into. And I'm so incredibly happy finding for you that you found something that, you know, like I said, I was always nervous that you didn't want to go back to work.
I was a teacher.
Yeah, you were a
teacher. I had been a high school teacher.
After a 10-year hiatus, you're not going to be like, okay, I'm back. Hey, I'm a teacher now again. No, you had to find something that was going to be passionate for you to be excited about for you to go back to work. And you found it, and luckily this podcast has turned into that because I'm incredibly thrilled that you found something that you're passionate about and you're so good at. So where was I going with this?
Just that it wasn't really about all this stuff going on in your own, like your
right, right. So I was completely, you know, depressed about what was happening with my dad, and I was, you know, jealous or, you know, in the fact of what you were doing all day and or what I thought you were doing all day. And I needed some time alone. So there was just so much going on in my mind.
There was so much resentment.
So much resentment to you and so much resentment to anger for, you know, with my dad for being sick. You know, like so much going on in my mind. Like I just had to go away. I had to escape as much as I could.
And you did.
And I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of that being said, that's all
that
was about.
So what you're saying basically is that you were doing the podcast for me. I was doing the podcast for you.
Initially I was not doing it for you. But that's what it turned into.
Oh.
Yeah. Initially I was doing it because it sounded like a cool idea. That's it. Like, I loved what you said. Like, I didn't even realize you were doing it for me, to protect me and us. Like, I didn't even put
that
together.
I was just like, I need him to be in the house. I need him to be safe. This is how I can monitor him. So, yeah, you know, and then we started our Instagram account and it like blew up and it took off so fast. And I don't know, everything kind of just, I don't want to say everything fell into place because nothing has ever just fallen into place for us. It has not happened. But yet people were, there was a real need for what we were doing.
Yeah, which is so bizarre. Like I didn't even, if you said it to me, I would not even think what we were going through is a thing that we should be talking about that people could relate to. I thought it was just us like having problems.
You know? Because nobody in our area, the only community we ever knew was our local community, like our friends who are local and everything. And we never saw them struggling. So we didn't know that was out there.
Yeah. But who would see us struggling? You know,
no, like, nobody saw us struggling at that time.
That's my point.
Right.
So it doesn't matter who it is.
That's true.
And I'm not saying anybody that we know is struggling. I'm just saying.
But I think everybody looked onto us and was like, damn, they're rich. They have fun. They've got these three kids.
We looked on the outside like.
Sure did.
Like a perfect situation.
Perfect situation. Yeah. And we were so fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break.
Oh, okay.
And we'll come right back.
Sure.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So I want to talk about that weekend that we actually launched. So we sat in front of the equipment. I don't know how many of you have, you know, had a book idea or, you know, a store idea or whatever that idea is that I know that so many of you have in your head right now, because I still have 20 different ideas, even though we started this podcast. So we all have this stuff going on that, you know, in our next life we're going to do, but we need to do it now instead. So that we walked by those mics that you bought. I mean, they were sat on our dining room table for probably 4 months and we just walked back and forth by them. And we, you know, every time I would look at them, I'd be like, oh yeah, there are those microphones. We're supposed to start a podcast.
You know what I relate this to? Do you remember in Pee-wee's Big Adventure at the end when Pee-wee was saving the animals from the animal store? Do you remember the movie?
Yeah, with the fire.
Yeah, there was a fire in the animal store and there were snakes in a cage. And he kept passing by the snakes and looking at them and making those faces.
And like, he like wanted to save them, but he didn't want to save them.
So every time he would go in to save something, he'd walk out and look at the snakes and be like, no, no, I can't do it. We can't do it.
Yes.
That was like us looking at the podcast equipment.
We were like, oh, that was such a good idea that we had. And then we're like, fuck that shit.
No.
Right.
I'm too scared. No way.
We were so scared. We had no idea what we were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we kept looking at it, and it sat, and we had this like beautiful dining room table with these like fucking podcast mics on it that were plugged into nothing, that meant nothing. Like, it was literally just people, we were always like, oh yeah, we're going to start a podcast, and people were like, oh, okay, like that sounds great, and we had no idea what we were doing. So then finally we recorded our episode, you know, we've told it 1,000 times. We recorded it. We recorded it again. We recorded it a third time. Finally, we were like, fuck it. We have it. It sucks, but we have to just put it out into the world. We put it out into the world. I still haven't listened to it since then. But
no.
People start from the beginning and like text me or message me and are like, I love your podcast. And I'm like, oh, great. Would you listen to it? Like your first episode. And I'm like, wow. And you're still listening.
Right.
That just shows how much people needed it. But the weekend that it launched, we were in New York City, and that was the same weekend right after I learned about my 40th birthday. and what had actually happened. That was the same weekend.
Oh, really?
So we had recorded all these episodes before, thinking that all the shit had hit the fan and we had hit rock bottom and everything had happened. And we were going to start this podcast. It was going to be all about us building ourselves back up. And I had no idea that the shit didn't even hit the fan yet. We had not even hit rock bottom yet. Like, we had started this podcast and I was going through probably the most devastating time of our marriage simultaneously. So it was such a bittersweet time. Like, we were launching our podcast. It was so exciting. We went to New York to celebrate and to, you know, to record in this amazing studio. And at the same time, I had just gotten this information about my 40th birthday. Everybody's probably listened to the guilt episode number 31. If you haven't, you can go listen to it. But it was basically like this new endeavor and this fresh start, but yet I was still trapped in this whole set of lies. So it was this really, really bittersweet time for
me. Well, yeah, we used this podcast to move on from everything and to, hey, can we take this step to...
But we moved on from nothing because we were just starting. That we right. started that episode 1, 2, and 3, I think we released the same weekend. The guilt episode, when we were finally ready to actually talk about it, is episode 31. So we went months of knowing about that and not being ready to talk about it. Not, I think, because I was afraid to share it, but because we were really just getting comfortable with being podcasters. Right. And we said that we were going to share every detail of what happened in our marriage on the podcast. And we've held true to that. But that first one, and then after that, you dropped bombs on me about the finances. But it took us a while to get to that point.
Yeah. All right. So moving on from there.
But what I'm just saying is, like, you know, you think you're going to start something and then everything is going to be great. But that's not always the way it is. Like, you're still going to deal with the shit of life. So that's why when I, you know, I'm so glad we still did it when we did. Because if you wait for the perfect time, there's never going to be the perfect time. You never know what's going to happen. And thank God. Because had I really been waiting for the perfect time, we never would have fucking done it. Because we've never had a perfect time.
No, especially looking at the equipment that we had there and just passing by it saying... When's the right time to start? There was no right time to start. Okay. But what about you being now, you know, you're a podcaster, you're a social media, what's the word?
Icon.
Icon.
No, I'm totally kidding. No, I'm a social media, I'm an influencer, but not really.
Are you?
I mean, no, not compared to other influencers, I'm not.
All right, so you're a podcaster.
I'm a social media presence. I listen, by all intents and purposes, yes, I am an influencer in that people hire me for their brands, but I am not. I mean, you look at my Instagram feed and it looks like a fucking toddler runs it. Like, it looks like a toddler, like, was writing a marker on the wall and then just came over to my Instagram feed and continued it.
All right. But you run the social media. You know, I have nothing to do with that. We have a ton of people on there. I'm not even allowed on there. Mm-hmm. And you're a podcaster. So how has that affected you? How do you see yourself because of what you've done over the last 2 years on social media, being a podcaster?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it has like it's a huge part of my identity.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I agree.
Oh, why do you say it like that? Why do you laugh?
Because I think you've definitely, what's the word? Developed since becoming a, you know, having this community of people. And
what, my boobs got bigger? I don't know what that means. Oh, you mean like I've come into my own, like I...
Yeah,
I love this community so much.
You're a different person because of this.
Is that a good thing?
I would not prefer to say.
Really?
Well, listen.
What does that mean, you would prefer not to say?
I mean, it's consumed you in a way that's, you know, all-encompassing, that you're into this thing more than me.
Is that what you think?
Like, you spend most of your time on your phone or on your computer and, you know, doing this stuff.
People are very nice to me. And it's nice when people are nice to you.
You know, it's funny because sometimes, you know, like, if I just want to be alone, I'm like, thank God you have this outlet, because you can be consumed by this thing for hours on end, and I can just, you know, plop myself on a couch and pour a glass of wine and watch a stupid movie I've seen 1,000 times and go on my iPad and do stupid shit like play SimCity, and, you know, all this stuff. And I don't even have to worry because you're doing your thing, and, you know, I'm happy you're there doing that. I'm happy I'm here doing this. So,
but if it wasn't this, it would be, I mean, if I had any job, I mean, yes, the thing is that this is a job.
No,
but
no.
But people are all consumed by their work all the time. The difference is that I love what I do.
Correct. So that's why I was saying no, no, no. Because if you had a job, you would not be so into what you were doing 100% of the time.
No, I'd fucking hate it. I'd be miserable. I mean, I'm still miserable because it's a pandemic and my kids are fucking home all the time.
You would do it as little.
But I'm never miserable because of the podcast.
You would do it as little as possible and to your least, you know, effort as possible.
That's probably correct.
Yeah. So, but with this, you're in it at 101,000%.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's like my other family.
I know.
Yeah.
Happy about. Real, honestly.
No, for real. You know, first of all, I love the people I've met, whether it be the people in our community, who have really become like part of, you know, my everyday life of interacting with them and everything. You know, we've met friends, other podcasters, other influencers, my social media friends who have other accounts who I've been very close with. Yeah, it's become really part of my identity. And it's also become a place where, you know, what the one thing I say to people, because people ask me all the time and they ask me all the time if I do coaching, like social media coaching or podcast coaching. And I don't. Maybe one day I will, but I don't. But people always say to me, you know, okay, what are your recommendations? And I'll give tips and everything. And my one tip is like, all you need to do is pretend that this is your living room, right? Your podcast or social media account is your living room. And you need to decide what you want your living room to look like. You know, who do you want there? What do you want people to talk about? What's going to make people come back and like want to sit in your living room and be there and spend a lot of time? And the one thing that you and I did from the beginning, which was the smartest thing we ever did, probably in our entire lives, was to not pretend for a fucking second that we're not somebody who we are. And I remember in the beginning, we got a lot of feedback that our podcast was great, but we were raunchy and we were explicit and we were gross and we cursed too much, especially me as a woman. I got tons of feedback that I cursed too much. I still do. I curse too much. I talk gross. I should tone it down. That's always the tone. You should, you know, always the response. You should tone it down. Never for a second did we do that. And I'm so grateful that we didn't. Because now I have this place that feels like home and I can go and be myself. And people, people don't want to be there, they get up and they leave.
Well,
or yeah. Hopefully, well, unless they're not telling me how fucking gross I am.
Well, so the one thing that I've always heard before was the moment that you get your first negative comment and feedback, that just means you made it. And mm-hmm. somebody's there to troll you, you know, that's a good sign. That means somebody's out there to hurt us because we have too much influence out there. And I think that's kind of what happened. And, you know, 3% of the feedback that we get is we suck. And, you know.
No, it's not we. It's me.
Okay, right.
So it's always the woman.
You curse too much.
Yeah.
You know, you're too mean to me mm-hmm. and you're too hard
on
me.
Wait, I wanted to read one of our recent feedbacks, because people the one question I also get is how do you deal with the negative feedback? And the one thing I have to say is if you're going to start something, I don't give a shit what it is, and people say, oh, don't worry about the negative, you're going to get negative feedback.
Well, yeah, it's also funny because I don't see almost any of it. The only things that I see is the reviews on iTunes,
right? Because we get like emails about it.
Well, the emails, you get stuff on Instagram, and you know, I don't see any of that stuff. I don't mm-hmm. see the Facebook stuff. I don't see the Twitter stuff. I don't see any of that.
Yeah.
So I rarely see, unless you say to me, hey, look at this thing somebody said, because they said, you know, I'm so mean to you, or, you know, I curse too much or whatever. And I'm like, fuck them. First of all, if they don't like it, get the fuck out of here.
Right. Because, like, who takes time? That's what I never will understand.
Right. What's the matter? What are you looking at?
Nothing. No, nothing.
Oh, okay.
No, I was going to read a review we got about a month ago that said, the review is hard to listen to. 1 star. These two seem horribly unhappy in their marriage. I honestly don't know how the husband can take it. She hardly lets him speak, and then when he finally does get a word in, she cuts him off.
Totally right.
Fuck you.
Fuck them. Yeah. I'm not fuck them. Fuck you, and I want to meet that
person. Oh, fuck them. Okay, well, go ahead. I'd love to see what she's like in bed.
Exactly.
I feel this podcast will turn to a divorce and martinis. Oh, divorce and martinis. Once their kids graduate out of the house.
Oh, so we have...
I was going to say, they're assuming our kids are going to graduate.
And get them out of the house.
And get them out of the house. My advice to the wife, always give advice in your ratings and reviews, people. That's what people want, is advice. I want unsolicited advice in my ratings and reviews.
Right.
Try to find happiness and balance within each other. Stop complaining in every other sentence and trying to make yourself out to be a martyr. Also, looking at the positive reviews, I feel sad for so many other marriages that are this way. I wonder how many divorces this podcast has caused, because the women that listen to this woman complain and act horrible are taking that kind of attitude home with them.
So everybody loves me. Right. And everybody hates you.
Totally.
I love this podcast. Yeah. That's why we're
here. That's always how it is. It's fucking misogyny. I don't know. She might be a woman. It's still misogyny. But no, seriously, like, oh, we're gonna cause divorces. But listen, it is hard.
But honestly, there is a possibility that we will cause divorces, because we're trying to have people open up and discuss with each other the realities of the way they feel in their marriages. And yeah. You know what? That's okay.
I totally agree.
Totally. It could be beneficial for the two of you if that results in a divorce, because it should have been.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. All right. No, listen, absolutely.
We have to take another break.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Be right back.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
All right, so I'm curious, because you have this whole other life of, you know, you have this family business that you're in and everything, and you're a podcaster. It's certainly part of your identity. I think you're very proud of it. I don't know. But how has that affected you also?
Well, I am proud of it. It's so funny, because when I was young, my whole ambition in life, what I really wanted to do, you know, we grew up in the 80s, where family sitcoms were a huge deal, you know, watching Different Strokes and Who's the Boss and Silver Spoons and Family Ties, like all these shows, there were all these families, you know, on TV. And I really wanted to be a child actor. That was my biggest goal. Like from age six, you know, whatever it was, like I really wanted to be a child actor. I was so, you know, excited to do something like that. And then obviously that never happened. And my fucking ADD cost me from doing anything like that, because I was too rambunctious. I couldn't control myself in any situation. And then when I was a teenager, I got into music and I wanted to be a musician and perform in front of a live audience. Like, I've always wanted to be in front of an audience, and I didn't know how and what was right for me. And I feel like this is the thing that kind of got me to that point. And look, there's no audience in front of us. It's just the two of us sitting here looking at a computer. But I know there's an audience out there who's listening. So it kind of fills that gap of, I've always wanted to perform. And I didn't know how. Like, besides the fact that, number one, on video, like, we've tried video. Like, I'm so awkward on video. I don't even know. Like, I can't even think about
right, like, when we're talking to Kim and Penn Holderness, and they're like, you guys should do video, and they're doing video and everything. Yeah. I'm like, no.
We're not them.
No.
They're incredible. Oh, we're not that. No. Like, you know what's so funny? Because I always think, like in my dreams, where I'm like, okay, we're on Jimmy Fallon next week, or we're on Jimmy Kimmel. Like, and then we have to go on the set. I'm like, how do I sit? how do I perform on video? Like, how am I supposed to be?
Well, we've had that on the Tamron Hall show and everything.
Well, we were supposed to, but it didn't happen.
Well, we did. It was on Zoom.
Quarantine. Mm-hmm. Right. But like, I don't know how to like, can, you know, I'm so awkward mm-hmm. being in that situation. I don't know how to do it. So this is kind of perfect.
Yeah.
We just talk into a mic and there's an audience out there listening and we don't have to, although I would love, we talked about it so many months ago. I would love to be able to do this in front of people.
One day.
In an audience. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, once this fucking live coronavirus thing is
yeah.
all done.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah, to be able to travel.
Yeah.
But so you are proud of it.
I'm so proud of it. Like, I'm so happy to be able to reach an audience. That's the one thing I think I've always wanted to do in one way or another. Mm-hmm. And I think we've finally found that way.
Right.
Yeah.
I felt like that too when I was younger, but me, it was like I would watch Dolly Parton in Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. No, I'm serious. And I would watch Jennifer Beale in Flashdance. And I would always be like, I just knew I wanted to be like a badass woman.
So I'm watching these homely family value.
No, I
TV
watched
shows,
those too. Every,
and you're watching.
Every week we would sit down and watch Happy Days when I was younger and as a family and everything. But my real true sense of being was Best Little Whorehouse in Texas and Flashdance and Footloose and Porky's and all those movies were like, I knew it was so wrong, but I wanted to be in them. And that this has given me a little bit of that. Like, I can be so wrong and people expect it of me, you know,
right,
like
okay.
I've set it up. Like, people always say to me, aren't you, how do you feel when you walk around your town? And listen, people hated me before this fucking podcast, so it's not a big deal. But there are people in this town who I'm so not aligned with, and people who, in this town who I absolutely love and who are my best friends. But I walk around and I think to myself, yes, people know all my shit. And however they judge it, they do. Whether they say, oh my God, how is she still married? Or how does she say what she says and share with all that stuff? And how does she show up here at, you know, at parent meetings at the school saying that she hates anal sex and all this stuff? But at the same time, it's so liberating. Like, it's so liberating to go anywhere and be like, you like me? You like me. You don't? You don't. And that's it.
Well, yeah, because it's so funny because everybody else at that meeting has the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not known.
Totally.
And so you're just kind of in the
I've
clear
just done it.
And free-minded.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of shit, but guess what? Everybody's got a lot of shit.
Yeah, I'm right. They do.
Yeah. So, you know, so I felt the same way. I feel like, you know, it's we're not performers by any sense because we're literally having a real conversation. But at the same time, yeah, I like reaching an audience. I like talking to people. I like all of that. But the one question I get more than anything, and I have a ton of questions from Instagram, and this was one that I think I got probably 50 times, is how do you deal with all the negativity, right? So everybody is biggest fear on social media, rightfully so, is about negative feedback. And how do you deal with the trolls and the people who, you know, call you bad names and go after you. And I've seen it all. I mean, trust me, everything we've been through and how vocal we are, especially we're vocal over, you know, social issues and racial issues and all kinds of stuff, you know, and my answer to that is if you're worried about starting something and you're worried about negativity, we deal with a lot of negative, but yet I feel so much support from our community. And I was reminded a few weeks ago, any of you who watch my stories or read our Friday Five, this is kind of be repetitive for you, but I think it's worth talking about again, was that you don't need to be a public persona on social media to get terrible feedback and have negative reactions. Like, you could be a regular person and still deal with this shit all the time. I mean, anybody who has a Facebook account deals with stupid shit on social media all the time. And my worst experience recently was when I, on our community page, put out that our son was struggling learning how to ride a bike. And so I asked if anybody knew the number that I'd seen before posted on social media of the woman who teaches kids how to ride a bike. So I posted that on our community page and I got demolished.
Yeah, and I was completely embarrassed.
All right. Yeah, so, well,
look,
so
I'm the dad.
All right. Can I tell the story about what happened?
Sure.
So everybody always says to me, how do you deal with the negative feedback? And my thing is always, listen, on social media, on Marriage and Martinis, 95% of it is people who are like us, who know why we're doing what we're doing and who are so sympathetic and wonderful. You get out there in the wild of our community pages and like private Instagram and social media, that's where you get the real problems. Because I said, our son, our 9-year-old, who, you know, he doesn't have great coordination or anything. We're having a lot of trouble teaching him. I'm super busy. You're super busy. We've taught him 1,000 fucking things. But when it comes to bike riding, he's having an issue. So I asked for the number of the woman in our town who I know teaches how to ride a bike. Holy shit. You would have thought that I asked somebody to like fucking teach him how to make crack cocaine. I mean, people were like, literally, it was one message after the other of, you're going to let a stranger teach your kid how to ride a bike?
You're going to miss out on the memories.
You're going to miss out on the memories. How can you do this? Meantime, at the same time, there's 1,000 messages. Does anybody know a good soccer coach? Does anybody know a good tennis coach? Does anybody? And like, I was literally like, oh, do I delete this now? But I want to get the number. I don't want to delete it. Like, it was awful.
Yeah, but beside that, you were also getting messages like, just put him on the grass first, and then like giving instruction.
Oh my God, it was all men mansplaining how to teach your kid how to ride a bike.
Yeah, so I viewed this. I saw that because you tagged me. I think you tagged me on this, and I saw it. And I was like, fuck this. I'm the dad. I'm supposed to be able to teach him how to ride a bike. But
that's,
you know,
so dumb.
I'm working all week and I'm working on this all weekend. And we're teaching them other things. And, you know, at the time to get up, you know, it was tough to do. So once you put that out there and I saw the responses, I was like, fuck this. I have nothing to do the next day. I'm not going to hear shit from anybody. And I went out there and I was like, okay, let's go. We're going to learn how to ride a bike. And in like 4 minutes, he was learning how to ride a bike.
4 minutes.
All right, 20 minutes. When we first started, I was thinking, okay, this is never going to happen. And it wasn't working. 20 minutes in, all of a sudden, it just clicked.
Yeah.
And he rode. And I was like, I'm so proud of you, but I'm more proud of me. I'm the dad and I did it.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is that all these people were probably like, I feel like all the dads who were like, and you need to do this and you need to do this. I'm like, really, how much other stuff have you done with your kid? Or is this the one thing that you did? So you take such pride in it that you're like willing to make another mom feel fucking horrible that she can't.
Right.
So, anyway, people have some feelings about bike riding. It's bullshit.
Wait, what does this have to do with podcasting?
It has to do with the fact that people always say to me, how do you deal with the negative comments on social media about, you know, as a podcaster, as an influencer, as a person who has a social media account with, you know, 330,000 followers. And I always say, this is nothing. My personal account is way worse. So, you know, no matter what, I know you've dealt with personal shit on social media that has nothing to do with a business. It doesn't matter if it's a business or not. You're dealing with some shit if you're putting your life on social media. And I, you know, I would 1,000 times over post a bike riding, you know, story on Instagram over Facebook community page any day of the week, except that I needed a local number. So, you know, I just feel like, yeah, I get tons of negativity. It sucks. The support I get super outweighs that. And I'm getting it anyway. So who cares?
Let's try to breeze through some of these next few questions.
Okay.
And
you're going to do like favorite thing about podcasting?
Yeah, take these as kind of like
bullet.
Yeah, like quick questions kind of thing. All right. So you asked me 3 things that we've learned since starting the podcast. All right, so do you want to answer first?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I mentioned this before that we were going to get to, but people that always message us that they say, I listened to your podcast or I read your, you know, Friday 5 questions or whatever, and I feel like we are not alone. And I felt like we were alone, that nobody was like us. And I always thought that was us. Like, I thought that we were so unique and thinking that we were just so weird and there's such a bizarre marriage and that we were so alone in all this. And because we decided to do this, we're hearing from all these people that agree with us. So we're so not alone, just like all the people who message us, that they're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
What's yours?
Oh, that's the first one?
That's the first one.
Yeah, my first one is that comparison really is a thief of joy.
Oh, very philosophical.
No, seriously.
Explain, please.
Comparison is really the thief of joy. That when you compare yourself to other people, it takes away all your joy. And, you know, there are now over 2 million podcasts and, you know, a ton by celebrities who already have a huge following. We literally started at zero, had zero listeners except for our family. I mean, literally zero. We've built it into this tremendous thing. But at the same time, if you put it next to a celebrity who, you know, has been on a television show or whatever, and good for them that they have their following and everything. But if you compare yourself to them or to other similar podcasts, or that, it takes away all the joy, and that it's right. Better to just focus on what you're doing than to look around you. And on social media, you know, you're around people who have similar accounts and messages, and you say, oh, why does that person have this? Why did they get that sponsor and I didn't, and this and that? And listen, you can fucking waste your life, man. It's all consuming if you don't just say, I'm on my own path and I have to just follow it. Yeah. So it's been a big lesson in just accepting your, you know, what you're doing in your own path and following it.
Well, one thing that I've learned since starting the podcast is that communicating with you can actually be fun. Like, I actually enjoy talking to you and it can be productive. Aside from this podcast, I don't like talking, mm-hmm. you know,
and no, I don't, you don't,
and I don't think you do either.
Well,
to me,
I like texting.
Right. You like texting.
Yeah.
But you know, when we're doing this, your phone is down. And I'm actually engaged in a conversation, mm-hmm. which for us is totally out of the, you know, realm of our norm. And we're both kind of good at it with each other, just sitting here with the mic talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the one place that we can actually come to and talk to each other without distractions, without feeling like I'm not into this and that I don't want to talk. I do want to talk when I'm sitting here with the mic.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to talk when you're sitting here at the mic without your phone in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a huge benefit of doing this. I mean, you know, it's something that we've both not been comfortable with for, you know, maybe ever.
Yeah, well, that's why it is so important. And you know, that I do think that sharing these questions are so beneficial for people. Like, that it has changed our marriage.
Yeah.
The way that we are... You know, I look at these sessions together, I get really, really excited that I'm going to sit down and talk to you and sometimes like air our dirty laundry that I've been waiting to say for weeks.
Right. Like, I can say things to you on here that I would never say to you if it was not on here.
Right.
You know?
Right. But if people are in a comfortable forum and ready to do that, you know, and you make a pact, like you and I have sort of made a pact that like, we're partners and this is our thing and this can't end our relationship. So right. I think it also comes with this safe territory of, listen, this is a safe space. We always say that to everybody else. It needs to work for us too. And if you create a safe space and have these conversations, that it can work. So, yeah.
Another thing about, if anybody's thinking about starting a podcast, for me, it just never gets easier. I still get nervous the next morning when we release an episode. Did I say something stupid? Did I sound dumb? And I still can't listen to myself speak on a podcast. I can't stand the sound of my own voice on a recording. I hear that's kind of a normal thing, I
mm-hmm.
hope.
Sure.
So yeah. So if I learn something from doing a podcast, just keep going with it, because I probably say some dumb shit and I probably...
Or that's anything. I'm sure when people release a book or, you know, an ebook or a course or whatever they're looking to put out there. I'm sure that the next day is total imposter syndrome and regret and wondering.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anything else for you, or should we?
Yeah,
move on?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I've realized that I really do like around 3% of people. And most of them are probably listening to this podcast right now. But that, you know, those 3%, that's all you need. You don't need everybody to like you. You only need a very, very small percent of people to be your people.
But is that the older you get, the more you feel that way?
Oh, yeah. But the older I get, but also the more I expose who I really am. And I'm sort of like, you know, and the pandemic has helped, certainly, because that's peeled back the layers of how many, you know, there's certain people who I was very close with before the pandemic who I haven't really been in touch with. And I'm sort of like, well, there's probably a reason for that. But also, we've had such support from the podcast, but we've also had people who have, I think, backed off a little bit and not supported us so much. And I'm sort of like, that's okay. You don't have to support us. But at the same time, you know, is that because you're embarrassed of who we are and you're embarrassed of being associated with us? Well, then I don't want to be with you either.
Well, yeah.
Right. And I think a little bit of that has happened. But also my main thing is that, you know, people always say to women, how do you do it all? I cannot do it all. I struggle with this all the time. I cannot do it all. It makes me miserable to try to do it all. You know, I'm homeschooling the kids a lot of the time. I'm so grateful for their teachers and everything, but they are home a lot of the time. You know, we have the podcast. I have the social media. I'm getting sponsors and I research them like crazy because I want to get the right ones. You know, we have a house to keep clean and laundry and friends to keep in touch with. And I cannot do it all. And I was much better at it, you know, when I was a stay-at-home mom, and it did seem easier, and I think I was a much happier person. I wasn't. I'm much more fulfilled now. I'm much, much more stressed now also.
Yeah, which is very obvious.
You didn't want me to be a stay-at-home mom. I'm not. So this is the stuff that comes with it.
Okay, so what's your least favorite thing about podcasting? Does that kind of lead into that?
Yeah, same thing. Prep work. I love, love, love researching. I love finding people to come on the podcast. I love it all. But it's so much work.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, it's way more work than I ever anticipated.
Yeah.
Like, I thought we were just going to be able to sit down in front of a mic and talk, hit record. I would edit a little bit and we'll release it. But it's turned into way more than that. And it stresses the fuck out of me.
But don't you think that that's any job? I mean, when I was teaching, I felt like that too. I thought I was going to get up in front of 30 kids and teach a lesson, and that was going to be it. And I was going to go home, and I was going to grade their essays, and their essays were going to be so interesting. And like, don't you think that's every job? I think a doctor feels like they're just going to go in there and they're going to cure patients. And
No, I disagree. I feel like this was going to be just like an enthralled hobby, you know, just. Like I said, we'll sit down.
Were you not thinking it was going to be a business?
No, I thought we were just going to sit in front of a mic and talk and record it, and I'll edit it a little bit and we'll put it out there. But that's not what it is now. But for a good reason, mm-hmm. It's become a business. It's become mm-hmm. a thing. So, you know, for good reasons, but it's stressful. You know, it's not just like if I could just walk into a studio and sit down at the mic and we sit and talk and then I leave and then somebody else takes care of everything else and publishes the episode. That would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, so the stress of all those other things, you know, are in play.
But I do think that's every job, and that's of course, no matter what you're starting, that's new. You need to understand that it's not exactly what you think it is.
Yeah. I didn't think this would be a second job, and it's become a second job, but one that I love.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, okay, but it's just another stressful thing that I have to do.
All right. What about going into business with your spouse? If there's anyone who's interested in, you know, listen, there's even a lot of businesses that, you know, you want to start. I know a lot of our listeners right now, I know you have something in your head that's going on. And that's a lot of the reason I wanted to do this episode. I know you have something going on, but you need support from your partner, right? You can't do it alone, whether it be that you need your partner to, you know, get you set up online, or you need your partner to edit your stuff, or whatever it is. You know, it's a team effort, and you know you're going to need them, or you're going to need them to watch the kids while you're doing stuff, which is sometimes what happens here. Like, what do you say about going into business with your spouse? I mean, we are really in business together, in a second business.
I think it depends. You know, for us, we know each other's strengths and we go with it. We don't step on each other's toes, which I think makes it work. We never expect each other to be able to do, like, I don't do what I know you can do. You don't do what you know I can do. Like, you're not going to ever edit an episode. I'm never going to write an episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we know each other's strengths and we work with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you know about that, go with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. 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 We don't ever step on each other's toes at all. Yeah. That's really worked well. Yeah. Do I recommend going into business with your spouse? You know, yeah, I think it all depends. But I do think, you know, there have to be a lot of deals made of, you know, when we went into this, we said it's all or nothing. We're going to say all or nothing.
Right.
We've done that. Yeah, you have to sort of from the beginning be really honest about what you want. You know, like, you are so super accepting of everything I do and everything I say. There's never been an episode ever where you're like, I don't think you should have said that, you know, and you make me feel so confident. And a lot of times I'll say to you, like, was that okay that I said that? And you'll be like, yes.
Yeah,
a lot of times, yeah. All the times. And, you know, part of it's my OCD, but part of it's also like, we're doing some scary shit here.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and you're always like so supportive, and it's, yeah, I think it's changed the way we, you know, we interact. So, you know, I think it depends, but yeah, I think it could be a really wonderful thing. And your parents were always in business together for years.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very different business.
Yeah, very different business, but same situation. They both had their roles. They both did what they were supposed to do.
Right.
And that's,
but your dad would have divorced me 4 times already.
Maybe
20
more.
Times
yeah.
already. Yeah. Yeah. But listen, it's the same thing. You know, it all depends on your marriage. Their marriage is not our marriage. It worked for them what they were doing. We're doing something that wouldn't work for everybody else. And, you know, you have to evaluate. And I think we like each other more now from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree. Okay. I think that's all I got.
Okay.
What about you?
I think we're good. I want to inspire people to take it to the next level, whatever it is you're thinking about right now. And everybody has an idea. And we were just two suburban people who decided we want to do something and we did it. And it was literally, it could have failed just as easily as it could have succeeded. And who cares? You know, it's about trying something. And I hope people will get out there and try whatever they're trying
to do.
Well,
yeah, that's the great thing about podcasting. It's
not just podcasting, anything.
No, but what I'm saying about podcasting is that anybody can do it.
Yeah.
And we are anybody.
So many things out there that anybody can do right now. That's the beauty of social media. And you will get negative feedback. You will get, you know, it will be hard, but it is also awesome. And we are so grateful for your support. It has been amazing. And one of the most amazing things about podcasting, I have to add, is things we've been able to do for our kids. Mia just interviewed her hero the other day. That episode is going to be coming out in a few weeks. You know, our kids have, you know, if they have something they want to try, I have the ability now to contact the person of what they want to try. And, you know, there's a lot of benefits to it. But, you know, I just say go for whatever you're doing. And please, if you are interested in our date night questions, do the pre-order. It's worth it. You get money off. You're going to get a lot of bonus stuff. And it's going to be really awesome. And it is sort of the same questions that changed our marriage. So I hope it'll do it for you. And that's it. And rate and review.
Don't forget rate and review.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.